بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سورة إبراهيم عليه السلام verses 37 and 38. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى سيدنا ومولانا وإمامنا بقية الله وحجة الله في أرضه الإمام صاحب العصر والزمان عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. And may the peace and the blessings of our Lord be with you, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون ربنا إنك تعلم ما نخفي وما نعلن وما يخفى على الله من شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء الحمد لله الذي وهب لي على الكبر إسماعيل وإسحاق إن ربي لسميع الدعاء صدق الله العلي العظيم. The translation of these two verses 37 and 38, our Lord, this is the supplication of Abraham. Our Lord, verily I have settled some of my progeny, من ذريتي, some of my progeny, not all of them. Half of them were still in Palestine. This is the other half that was brought with him to Mecca. من ذريتي, some of my progeny. بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم. In a valley without cultivation, without food, without inhabitants. But by your sacred home, it's a very secure place. There is no vegetation, no cultivation, no inhabitants, but your sacred home is there. عند بيتك المحرم. ربنا, our Lord, ليقيموا الصلاة, that they might perform the prayers, establish prayers. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً, so cause the hearts of some people, not all people, some people. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي, to incline toward them. تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ, and provide them with food and fruits. وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ, that happily they may give thanks to you. So we know Ibrahim alayhi salam had two wives, Sarah, the mother of Isaac, and Hagar, the mother of Ishmael. And historians believe that Ishmael was born before Isaac. And God asked Ibrahim to take his wife from Palestine, his wife Hagar, with a baby, Ishmael, and place them in Mecca. Now, some people say there were some conflict between the two wives. They didn't get along well. we really do not know the truth. It could be true because it happens even in the families of prophets and messengers. This type of family dispute, this type of sometimes jealousy, rivalry, misunderstanding, miscommunication, it happens. It happened with Abraham, it happened with Noah before him, it happened during the time of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is mentioned in a couple of chapters in the Quran. Surah Al-Tahrim is one of them, Surah Al-Ahzab is another one, that sometimes these misunderstandings happen. So he brought his wife, Hajar and Ismail, Hagar and Ishmael, and he placed them in Mecca. Biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in, in a valley without cultivation, without vegetation, inda baytika al-muharram, but by your sacred house. Muharram means sacred, and specifically here means that they are in peace. They are at peace, and no one can hurt or harm. No one can hurt or harm humans or animals or even trees. Cutting off the tree, uprooting the tree is illegal in that sacred zone, in that sanctuary. Then he said, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. He petitioned to God. First thing he wanted for his family is mental and spiritual peace and tranquility. When they are put in a land where there are no inhabitants, no food, no future, no neighbors, no people around you. First thing Ibrahim thought about is to connect them with God. Once they are connected to God, they have every supply. They have every resource. They have everything they need. They have everything around them. They have peace of mind. They have emotional, psychological, and spiritual security. When they have a hotline with God, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, enable them to establish prayers. And a prayer, salat here, denotes the entire religion, the entire faith, not just one aspect of it. Because the most important fundamental of religion is prayers, as-salatu amududdin, the main pillar, the main foundation of faith is the prayers. As-salatu amududdin. If a prayer is not found, then there is no column, there is no pillar, there is no foundation for your religion. A religion is about to collapse any time. So you need to hold it with the prayers. Nothing can replace the prayers, my friends. Nothing. No act of worship, no act of goodness, no act of virtue can substitute or replace the canonical prayers, the five daily prayers, the salat. As-salatu amududdin. In qubilat qubila ma suwaha. If you pass this major, then the supplementary subjects are going to be accepted too. But God forbids, if you fail in delivering this major, which is in this case the prayers, then supplementaries are not going to help. As-salatu amududdin. The other hadith says, بَيْنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْكُفْرِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. What separates, what distinguishes between faith and non-faith, between belief in God and disbelief in God, is when someone neglects, abandons his or her prayers. ترك الصلاة. In another hadith says, the one who abandons his prayers is considered kafir, disbeliever in God. Now, of course, let's be careful with these hadith, with these narrations. Sometimes a Muslim, a believer in God, believes in the importance of the prayers, acknowledges the prayers, and believes that prayers is part of his faith and part of the obligations and the mandatory acts of faith. But sometimes he's delinquent. Delinquent. Some days he prays, some days he doesn't. But there is another case we have, that someone does not even believe in the prayers. Says, there are no prayers. I don't even believe. I don't even acknowledge. These things are false. This is the one the hadith says about him or her is a non-believer. Not the first one. The first one is a believer, but he's sinner. He's delinquent. He's not praying all his 5 daily prayers. One day he prays, 5 days he doesn't. But he's still a believer. Whereas the second one does not believe in the prayers altogether. He does not appreciate them. He does not recognize them. And that is the example of a non-believer or disbeliever in God, when he disbelieves in the prayers. Because the prayers means, simply means, communication with God. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. You are standing before God. You are not standing before Prophet Muhammad or Imams or Saints or Messengers. You are standing before God. You are standing before God. You are facing God. You are speaking to God. You are bowing and prostrating and putting your forehead on the ground, on the floor before God and only God and nothing but God. إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Ibrahim says, my prayers is for God. I'm speaking with Him. I'm surrendering myself to Him. I'm lowering myself before God, before the one who is worthy of humiliation, worthy of submission, worthy of surrenderance. So when you cut off, when you sever this relationship with God, then how can you acknowledge God? As if you are saying, I don't believe in God. Thus, God says in the Quran, there was a good generation one day, good worshippers, good servants, but they did not teach these values to their children. Those parents, those ancestors did not pass these good values of prayers and communication with God to the next generation. What happened with the next generation? فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتَ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. They were succeeded by a bad. خَلْفٌ means bad generation, bad children. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ. They neglected the prayers. They don't pray. How oftentimes we see families and communities, parents pray, grandparents pray, but the young generation don't pray. Because parents did not do enough to protect their children. Parents did not do enough to connect their children to God. Sometimes they encourage their children to study, which is good. They check on them when they are sitting in their rooms, in front of their computers. Did you do your homework? Are you ready for tomorrow? Did you eat? Do you need anything? But they don't take some time to ask them, Did you pray? Did you speak to God? You need energy. You need spiritual energy from God. Did you talk to Him, my son? Did you face God today and say, God, I need you in my life. I need your help. God, there are moments that my parents are not going to be able to help me. My money would not be able to help me. My friends, we see these things nowadays. When this coronavirus is spreading, it is not only attacking the poor, the homeless people. Some very rich and powerful and influential people were attacked by this virus. So sometimes you reach a point, your money, your army, your family, your influence, your fame, being a celebrity does not help you. Does not help you. The only one who helps you is God. When God is in your life. So we have to pass these values to our children. This is exactly what Ibrahim did. Once he puts in family, his family, he places them. Askantu, I settle my family. I settled them. Verily, I have settled my family. Biwadin ghayri di zar'in, inda baytika al-muharram. It's true, it's a bare land. There is nothing except your sacred house. Symbolic. The Kaaba is symbolic. Kaaba is not the real and literal and physical residence of God. God's residence is in your heart, in your soul, when you remember God. God says, لا تسعني أرضي وسمائي ولكن يسعني قلب عبدي المؤمن. My heaven and my earth and this universe cannot embrace me. Cannot embrace me, cannot host me. The only place that can host me is the soul, the true soul of my true servant, Abdi al-Mu'min. That is the residence of God, your heart. God is with you. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Don't travel thousands of miles in search of God. God is with you. He's closer to you than your jugular vein. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْدِ الْوَرِيدِ. The moment your attention goes to Him, even if you don't open your mouth and call upon Him, the moment you call upon Him internally, your heart turns to Him, He's there, He's ready. He's saying, لَبَّيْكَ عَبْدِي. Just ask me, I am there to help you. So Ibrahim said, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Let them establish religion. Once they establish religion, I really don't, I'm not going to worry about them. Because I know they are in safe hands. They are with God. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً. Now the second request. Now I want the hearts of some people to be inclined toward them. فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. That is the second request. Because you need to socialize. Yes, you have God, but at the same time you need family. All messengers, all prophets, most of them, except for one or two. And those one or two, they had, if they did not have wives, they had mothers, like Yahya, John the Baptist, like Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. He had a mother, so he had a family. He had Mary with him. So we don't find a prophet, a messenger, a leader, universal leader, that was living without a family. You must have a family. You must have a partner. And also you must have friends with you. God wants you to grow and develop your potentials within the institution of family. God wants you to exercise your love, your compassion, your mercy with your family first. Family first, and then friends. Family is fundamental in Islam. Family is important. Therefore, do not rebel against your family. Don't rebel. Don't shun off your family and say, I don't need a family. I can live by myself. Maybe you can live by yourself. Definitely. You are not going to die. But you are not going to grow. Spiritually and mentally, you need a family. Now, if you don't have a wife, if you don't have a husband, you must have a mother, you must have a father, you must have a sibling, you must have a sister, you must have a brother, you must have a cousin, you must have a son, a daughter, even if you have one. This is a family. فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. So, cause the heart of some people to incline toward them. Now, where does love come from, my friends? Where does love and affection come from? It comes from God, or it comes from people? From where? From both. Number one, you are the creator of love. You as a servant of God, you can manufacture love. Because you have this factory inside you, and that factory is called the heart. You have a heart here on this side. If you touch your chest here, if you touch your breast on this side, you can hear the palpitation of your heart. You have a heart, and the heart is the seat of affection, the seat of love. So you can grow yourself in love. You can love and you can be loved by others. When you do good, when your conduct is good, when your emotions, your feelings, your behavior, your relationship, your talks, your deeds are good, people are going to love you. When you do an act of ihsan and goodness to anyone, ihsan does not have to be material. Ihsan, 90% of the ihsan is non-material. Not about money. Not about giving money to people, distributing money. It's about respect, respecting people, loving people, caring about people, asking about people. This is the meaning of ihsan. أحسن إلى الناس تستعبد قلوبهم. أحسن إلى الناس تستعبد. Do good to people, you're going to grab their hearts and their minds. فَطَالَمَا اسْتَعْبَدَ الْإِنسَانَ إِحْسَانُ. How oftentimes we see a small act of goodness and wholesomeness is going to capture the heart of people. So through your manners, your behavior, you can love and you can be loved by others, which is a mutual. Through your akhlaq, your manners. Think about 20 or 30 of your friends, your family members. Those that you love. Why do you love them? You love them because of their manners. Because they are humble. Because they are forgiving. Because they are tolerant. They are not angry all the times. They are not frustrated all the times. Because they bring you relief when you are stressed out, when you go through times of doubt, uncertainties, fear, anxiety, they are there for you. They speak good to you. This is why you love them. Akhlaq, through manners. So this is one element. The second is God. God also bestows love on people. God makes your heart love such and such. God makes people love you. And this is found in chapter 19, Surah Maryam. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلْ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Verily, those who have faith in God, true faith in God, and they do good deeds, indeed God is going to make an affection for them, love for them in the hearts of others. God is going to make others to love them, those who have faith in God and do good deeds. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلْ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّ. Sometimes, my friends, you go to a city where you know no one in that city. No one. You only know the name of that city. You have no relatives, no friends, no one. All of a sudden, God is going to bring a family. Brings a family to you, and this family is going to surround you, embraces you, helps you, supports you, be close to you. They are not your parents, they are not your cousins, they are not your extended family members, but those people God have sent them to you because you are good, because you have faith in God and you do good deeds. God is not going to leave you alone. You are not going to be forgotten. You are not going to be left out. God is going to فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Oh God, I leave my family in your hand. They have no relatives here, no friends. So you make the hearts of the people to be inclined. تَهْوِي هَوَى. Don't you say to your friend, أنا أهواك. I love you. My heart is inclined towards you. I love to be with you. I love to talk to you. I love to watch you. I love to hear from you. If one day I don't see you, I miss you. Don't you say this to your friends? And these are true feelings. True feelings. Certain people, if you don't see them for one day, you think that I haven't seen them for 1 month, but it is only one day. On the other hand, some people you don't want to see them. And I don't want to mention that. And then he says after that, what time is it? We're going to conclude soon, inshallah. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And then provide them. So he speaks, first of all, he spoke about the spiritual security. لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. Make my family establish religion and prayers. So to have the spiritual security, number one. Number two, social security. فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Make the hearts and the minds of some people to be inclined toward them, so they don't live in isolation. They have friends around them. Number three, the food security. الْأَمْنُ الْغِذَائِي. وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. And provide them from food that they may give thanks to you. Here there is a point. The point is, if you want God to keep His sustenance, His provision, His food upon you, give thanks to God. Always be thankful. At the end of every meal, once you finish your meal, whether this meal is big or small, one bite or 20 bites, one small dish or three dishes, at the end, when you conclude, say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Thanks to God who gave me this food. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَنَا وَسَقَانَا. Give thanks. The supply is going to continue. Supply would not stop. Because the cause for this supply and the reason for this supply is when you say thanks to God. When you thank God. And this gratefulness to God and gratitude to God and being thankful to God, sometimes it's verbal when you say Alhamdulillah, Ash-Shukrullah. Sometimes it is material when you share this food with others, when you give your zakat, when you help. Once you start helping, again, this chain of supply is going to continue on you. And sometimes it is a spiritual thanks. When God gave me, I have to share. If I have knowledge, if I have love, if I have mercy, if I am a caring person, I should share it with people. God checked on me. God made sure that I'm fine. Now it is my turn to check on people and see whether they are fine or not, and see whether they are in need or not. وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. We give thanks to Allah. Under all circumstances, in any circumstances, we give thanks to Allah for keeping us healthy, for giving us another opportunity to live one more day so we can give thanks to Him. My friends, we are going under or through in extraordinary circumstances, and we need to continue giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I always say, don't fear, don't worry. What we can do is to repent, is to go back to God, is to pray, is to connect with God, and we leave the rest to God Himself to decide. And inshallah, your fate is going to be good.